blessing us for that beautiful song. What a beautiful name it is. I think of all of us here tonight, probably been serving the Lord for a long time. And it's the name of Jesus that has made the difference. Amen. Wasn't for the name of Jesus, we'd be somewhere lost, probably in a devil's hell. But thank God for Jesus. You know, give you just a little brief story tonight. It was in the early 30s that O.B. Braun was conducting revival services, and maybe they had church, I don't know, over in East Cleburne. And my mother was 19, I think. Dad, maybe she was 18. Dad was 19. They weren't married. She was a flapper. Do you know what that was? And Daddy was a brawler. They would go to dances just to fight. He had two brothers that were mean as the booger man, you know. And that's why they went. But God got a hold of him over in East. I could drive to where the location is. I don't know the name of the street. But the Holy Spirit got a hold of their hearts and completely changed their lives. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about flappers, but I know they were pretty wild, you know. So when God saved my mama, he convicted her of everything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they had been just as wild as you can get. And boy, when God got a hold of them, he straightened them up so straight you couldn't walk straight enough. But the name of Jesus is what made the difference. Oh, I praise God for the name of Jesus. I praise the Lord for salvation through the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to talk to you for a little while tonight. And I explained Friday night at the barn a bit of a dilemma that I was in. Betty had asked me to speak tonight, and Pastor Mike had asked me to speak on Wednesday night. And I use a computer that is, what's that program it's got on it? Anyway, it's old as hills. But if I change computers, my Bible program won't work. So, and I don't think I'm smart enough to learn that new Bible program, you know. So I was in a bit of the dilemma, and my computer, I could still work it up on Word, but I couldn't get the crazy thing to print, you know. And I had a young man come to the house, and he's a whiz at it. He does the computer work for Alvarado Schools, and he got it to work. So I had an old printer that I had been able to wire up to my computer and print with it. Well, I just gave him the old one. Well, I hadn't been able to get the new one to work since. So it's probably been 30 years since I preached from anything but a document from Word. You know, I could enlarge the fonts, adjust it to my age, you know. Well, you got to put up with something different that I hadn't done in 30 years. But I have something I want to share, and I believe the Lord put it on my heart. Going all the way back to the book of Genesis tonight, I'd like for us to pray before we begin this evening. God, we're so grateful for Jesus. We thank you for the call of God that you placed upon our lives, and all of us have been called to one service or another. But we thank you for that work of the Holy Spirit that has been done in our lives. You've worked on us. You've worked through us. But I pray that all of those things will bring you glory tonight. I pray that Christ will be exalted and that you will help us now, Lord, to be able to reach forth and take hold of the promises that you have made us and stand on that word. I ask it in Jesus' name. I'm going to share with you something tonight that it's a little bit different. Actually, it's dealing with God's working with Israel. We're going to be talking about God's promise or human reasoning. God's promises or human reasoning. Now, we have in our lifetime moved a whole lot toward human reasoning. Okay? This is not anything new for humanity. God made promise to Abraham, and we're going to look at some of those promises tonight from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And in verse 7, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there build he an altar unto the Lord who had appeared to him. I want us to take note of the fact that God promised Abraham and his descendants the land of promise, the land of Canaan. He committed himself. You know, when God says something, it should be sealed and delivered. And as far as Abraham was concerned, he believed that. Isaac believed that. Jacob believed that. And went right on down the line until they were almost to the point of receiving the promise. Now God had spoken to Moses on the backside of the wilderness, instructed him to go back to Egypt, and the Lord promised that he would deliver Israel out of Egyptian bondage. It was God's promise. You know, Israel had been operating up to this point on the promises of God. You say, well, how come were they in bondage for 400 years? So they could multiply and become millions. That's why they were there. And aside from all that Pharaoh did to suppress that multiplying, they multiplied anyway. It was miraculous the way Israel multiplied there. But it was purposed by God that they would go into Egypt and there would serve the Egyptians for 400 years. At the end of that 400 years, they began to cry out to God for deliverance. Now, God had promised it, so they were standing on a promise there. So the Lord spoke to Moses on the backside of the wilderness and sent him to deliver them. And he came down and dealt with Pharaoh. And God sent the plagues upon Egypt until finally Pharaoh said, just get out. Now they went out loaded. I mean, God gave them favor with the Egyptians, and they gave them their gold and their silver and their wealth and their garments. They went out loaded. So just about the time they got outside the reach of the area where they'd been in bondage, the Egyptians begin to realize what they'd done. Hey, we turned a bunch of slaves loose. You know what? God doesn't want us to be slaves. He wants us to be free. Amen? Freedom comes when you stand on a promise. It doesn't come when you rationalize things. It doesn't come when you apply human reasoning to it. Freedom comes when you stand on the promise. So we're going to look just a little bit further over into chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and there's a little bit on the end of that, forever. That's exactly the reason we support Israel today. That little forever on there. God said, it's going to be yours forever. I believe it's biblical for us to support Israel. Amen? And sometimes that costs a lot. You know, people complain about how much money we send to Israel, but the same ones that complain about that think it's okay for us to send money to Iran. You know, come on, let's be consistent. God has instructed us to support. He said even we should pray for Israel. So it's a promise. We're standing on a promise when we're supporting Israel. That was just kind of on the side. Okay. But something unusual happened in Deuteronomy. I want to share with you just a verse or two. When they got ready to go into the promised land, we're not told exactly how long it had been since they left Egypt, but they were at the border ready to go over. And in Deuteronomy, I'm going to read just a little bit from chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And now listen. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and unto what cities we shall come. Okay, something happened here. Israel had come a long ways, and they'd seen so much. You know, Pastor mentioned this morning about how God took care of Israel. He fed them when they were hungry. He gave them water when they were thirsty. He provided for all their needs. Their shoes, their clothes didn't wear out. All their needs were supplied. But you know what? Sometimes in the midst of blessings, we lose faith. We want it all to be in our grip. We don't want to have to reach out and take anything by faith. You know, that same young couple that was born again over in East Cleburne were called to the ministry, and they were pioneers down in Ellis County. They pioneered a church in Milford. It's just a little place now, but back then, well, a lot of people lived in the country. The little church, was 100, 150, and it was thriving, a thriving place. But during those pioneer days, they were driving an old car that the generator went out. My dad was kind of a jackleg mechanic, but he worked on that thing and he couldn't fix it. Getting closer to time to go to church, and they had to drive to get to church. My mama was the preacher. So daddy went out in the cornfield and started praying. It was an old whippet. I never saw a whippet, but that's the kind of car it was. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He got an assurance from the Lord. He went home, cranked the old whippet. He said that generator was still working when I sold the whippet. You know what? Couldn't do anything but believe. You know, there was no money. There was no access to a place. You know, if it would have been me nowadays, I'd take my car to the garage. Why? Because we've had everything. You know, it's available to us. It's easy. You know, sometimes when things are easy, we don't have to believe like we really should. Sometimes we get backed in a corner and somebody's got cancer or heart trouble or serious problems that the doctor can't fix, and we really get serious with God. All we're doing is claiming a promise that's ours all the time. It was ours. It was there. But what did they do? Instead of going in to possess the promised land, they said to Moses, let us send some men over there and look it out and be sure we can do it. That was a total act of unbelief. From start to finish, they should have never sent anyone over there. You said, well, Moses agreed. Sometimes leadership kind of gets backed in a corner too. He said, all of you came to me and said this. I'm sure it was all of their representatives. You know? Well, they sent spies over there, and we all know the story. Joshua and Caleb went over and looked, and they found the good side of it. Unbelief will always see the bad side of it. It will always see the impossibility. I just don't see how it could happen. You don't have to see it. God said it was going to happen. Amen. So we've got to just believe the word of God and trust him, and he will come through. What was the cost of that unbelief? I want you to listen to this. God said, because you've done this, not a one of you that's above 20 years old is going into the promised land. Pretty high cost, huh? Unbelief has a high price. Amen. Sometimes it seems more comfortable to rely on human effort and human strength and human talent and whatever. But I want to tell you, it won't get the job done that God can get done. Amen. If we just act on the promise of God and trust him, he will come through just like he said he would. I love sure things. When I was young, we had it pretty hard. There was a lot of time I didn't have a dollar bill in my billfold. when I got to where I could afford it, I carry some money in my billfold. You say, well, you know what? That's no sure thing. The promise of God is what is sure thing. Amen. If you just believe the Lord and stand on His word, He'll come through and He'll take care of all our need according to His riches and glory. And nothing on earth can buy what God can do. I'm going to shut up just a minute. The psalmist says, I think I'm going to read that. I didn't just not have a computer. I've got a new Bible. And the pages all stick together. I think this scripture is applicable tonight just as much as it's ever been. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. That's human strength or human ability. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I believe tonight now, I'm probably one of the older ones here tonight. So I'll step up and take responsibility. Joel's older than I am. Okay. But he's still trucking. So I think Joel and I, and Rex is coming in there pretty close. It's time some of us old ones to step up and act in faith. Let's believe God. Believe His word. Stand on His promise. Let's see what the Lord will do. He's just waiting for us to take a step of faith. Give Him a chance to keep His word. He will never fail. The psalmist said, I was once young and now I'm old. I can say that now. I was once young, and I admit now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, and I haven't been either. Nor his seed begging bread. He's been faithful. And you know what? He's going to continue to be faithful. And tonight, I'm resolved that I am going to trust the Lord. I am going to believe God. And do everything that I can to influence others to stand on the promises. The Lord's faithful. I just want to challenge you in closing this evening to take a little inventory. You know, am I applying too much reason the things nowadays, or am I standing on the promises? Am I really believing God that God's going to come through? Now, you know, our pastor is a man of faith, and he's doing his best to motivate us to believe God. But it's a personal decision. Nobody can force you to believe God. See? They can encourage you. But it's a personal decision. I have to decide. I'm going to trust in God. I'm just going to stand on the promise. I'm going to give God a chance to be glorified by confirming His word by power and signs following. Amen. You know what? Johnny, I believe God will hear us just as much as He hears anybody. Amen. If we're just willing to take that stand and believe Him tonight. So that's what I want you to challenge you to do tonight. Bow your heads with me, will you? Father, we thank You for Your presence with us. We thank You for that beautiful name, that wonderful name, that powerful name that's still at work confirming Your word with power and signs following. I'm believing you to continue to work in the power of your Holy Spirit, that your name will be glorified. Hallelujah. God, we're believing for another Jericho wall to fall down. We're believing you to bring us to a point of greater victory than before. And we're going to trust you and give you praise in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.